You are listening to BensTorah.com.
As we begin the parshas of Truma and Tetzaveh, we get into the parshas of Sofei Yaakov Pekudei, and we analyze how much time and effort the Ribbono Shel Olam had put into instructing all the individuals involved with the mission of building a Mishkan, Osir L'Midrash V'Shechanti V'Seichem, making a Mishkan in the Midbar, and finally making a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. The amount of instructions that Rabban Hashem gave in the Torah of exactly how everything has to be made, the outside of the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, the materials, the decorative parts, and then when it came to the utensils that were going to be used in the actual operation of this specific Mishkan and ultimately the Beis HaMikdash, there's tremendous, tremendous amount of information given in the Torah text itself. And it implies that there is an importance in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam that this Mishkan that was built in the Midbar, and later on David HaMelech says that when it came to the blueprint of the Beis HaMikdash, which he and ultimately Shlomo HaMelech built, there was also a divine blueprint given to them, to David and to Nasan and to the other great prophetic personalities of that time, an exact description architecturally of how the buildings were supposed to be made, the courtyards and everything else. And this tremendous emphasis, especially on the utensils that were used as part of the Avedas HaMishkan, and in particular what I'm thinking about and what I'm going to deal with today are some of the major kelim that were contained in the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKodashim, the description of how the menorah has to be made, the description of the Shulchan of the Lechem HaPanim, the Mizbeach HaZav. But the one that has the greatest description of all the particulars of exactly how it's supposed to be made from the materials and the artistic dimensions of what's going to be engraved into the cover of the Aron HaKodesh, the description of the Kruvim and how they positioned their bodies and positioned their faces and everything else, and that the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted it to be made from the finest gold, the finest materials, and that was going to be the major kli, the major utensil that was going to be placed in the Kodesh HaKodashim, the place that the Kohen Gadol could only enter once a year on Yom Kippurim, and a place that when Moshe ultimately communicated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in future periods of time, the Ribbono Shel Olam says that the actual information is going to be directed to the Aron HaKodesh and then come out to Moshe Rabbeinu, giving him all the information he needs when it comes to disseminating this information to Klal Yisrael at large. We do see that there's tremendous emphasis when it comes to manufacturing these beautiful kelim with symbolic figurines and symbolic formats in the Beis HaMikdash and early in the Mishkan itself. The question is why? Why so much detail? We do know there's a concept which is based upon a pasuk in Oz Yosher of Zeh Keli Vanveyu, that when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and making objects of divine worship, which we utilize with which to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu and perform mitzvahs for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says, Hesnoa Lafanei by mitzvahs, the Gemara in Shabbos says we have to perform mitzvahs in the most beautiful fashion possible. The finest type of script has to be used, the finest sofer who knows how to write that script, the finest klafim when it comes to the actual skins that were used for the Sefer Torah, for the mezuzah, for the tefillin, the actual coverings of the batim of the actual encasements of the tefillin, the Dalad Minim, the Kanta Bahidah Mitzvah. There is an incredible emphasis by Chazal when it comes to how it should be done and the finest way it should be done. And it seems that when we do it in a beautified fashion, Zakeli Ve'anvehu, we're giving divine praise and Shevek to HaKadosh Baruch by showing Hashem how beautiful we made our Heftzei Mitzvah when it relates to relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even in Jewish tradition later on, when it came to the Bris Milah knife, they made it very ornamental in nature, even though it didn't have to be. When it came later on to the concept of a Bechi, you make Kiddushin as ornamental as it could possibly be. Even the coverings that we make today, when it comes to the Megillas Esther, we once a year, the beautiful types of encasements that are made from all magnificent types of materials as part of the keem of the concept of Zakeli Vanveyu, quite obviously there is a concept of the importance of the Kalim, the importance of the utensils, the importance of the religious objects with which we worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what I want to deal with today and concentrate on in particular is the Aron HaKodesh. Because there's a fascinating Medrash Chazal, which I'm going to analyze with you today, where the Medrash Chazal says, it's based upon a Gemara in Masechta Shkolim, that when it comes to the ultimate kapara for the chet of the Egel Hazav, which we're going to be reading about in a couple of parshas and parshas Kisisa, that Chazal tell us the entire way with which they manufactured Mishkan, Vekelev, and all those ritual objects served ultimately as a kapara for the chet of the Egel Hazav. But the Talmud Yerushalmi in Masechta Shkolim says that the ultimate kapara for the Egel Hazav in the eyes of the Rabbeinu Shalom was the manufacture of the Aron HaKodesh, the way it was made and how it was symbolically, ultimately figured when it comes to the various kruvim that were engraved into the golden cover of it. All of this was, according to Chazal, a manifestation of a concept and a principle dealing with the concept and yesod of somehow Hashem being so happy to see that we made the kelim with total perfection, and in particular Aron HaKodesh. The Rabbeinu Shem said his happiness and his, we say in Yiddish, zufriedenkeit, of what Klal Yisrael did when it came to manufacturing these kelim, that the ultimate kapara for the chet of the Egel Hazav, Chazal say, is the Aron HaKodesh contained in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and in particular even of the Aron HaKodesh, the format and the manufacture of the cover of the Aron HaKodesh, the kapares with the kruv and everything else. This was the consummate kapara when it came to the Egel Hazav and the chet mentioned in Pashas Kisisa. Why are kelim so important, and why specifically is the Aron HaKodesh singled out with the kapares as the ultimate kapara of Klal Yisrael that rejoined and connected us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We should go back to the greatness we had before and have a kapara for the chet of the Egel Hazav and renew our relationship with Hashem, be becoming the Goy Kadosh and the Am Segula, Am HaNivchar. I want to analyze that with you today, and I want you to listen very carefully, because you're going to see very shortly why, in fact, the Talmud Yerushalmi did emphasize that the ultimate kapara for the chet of the Egel Hazav was not merely the tshuva of Klal Yisrael, but the manufacture of the Mishkan V'Kelav, and in particular, as the Talmud Yerushalmi says, the manufacture of the Aron HaKodesh and his kaparis. So let me backtrack a little bit and analyze first the Chet of the Egel Hazav and explain to you the impossible comprehension of how Klal Yisrael came to make an Egel Hazav and what was the mistake that they made, and what was the kapara that they did. Listen carefully, because this will enable us to then understand the importance of the kaparas in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal point out that the major question everybody asks when it comes to the chet of Egel Hazav is Klal Yisrael, as I've taught in the last couple of weeks. We're given an incredible mesara from the Avos Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and what Klal Yisrael's mission is in this world. And there is no question that Klal Yisrael witnessed the Gevura, the ultimate concept of the omnipotence of Hashem, the Gevura of Hashem, the omniscience, the knowledge of Hashem when it comes to divine providence, Hashgacha Pratis, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control of the manifest destiny of the world, and in particular manifest destiny of Klal Yisrael becoming the chosen nation of Hashem, that are supposed to be indestructible and supposed to be lamayla miderech hatev, and what they do for their entire existence to the end of time. All of this in the promises of Bris Ben HaBesorim, in the miracles they saw in the Makos of Mitzrayim, the Makos on Kriyas Yamsuf, and the various miracles they experienced in the Midbar with the Anania Kavod and the man that came down every day in order to feed them, and also the Bermayim of Miriam that gave them the water needs in the Midbar. They were living in a tekufa of Nisim Shaloi B'derech HaTeva. How was it possible for a nation that witnessed all of this to ultimately speaking have a Havamina, that if Moshe doesn't return, all of a sudden we turn to Avodah Zarah to be the source of our power and our leadership? It's simply intellectually, theologically, psychologically, emotionally impossible to comprehend. I mean, that's the first major question everybody asks when it comes to understanding the Chet of the Egel Hazav. The next thing is that Klal Yisrael did experience Maimed HaSinai, as I described in the last weeks. Hashem addressed them on a high prophetic level, like Moshe Rabbeinu Mometero. They heard their service, the Dibros. They witnessed the divine Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon him on a very, very high level. How is it, after having witnessed Maimed HaSinai, experienced all the miracles involved in that specific encounter, how in the world did Klal Yisrael later on decide, without Moshe returning, to worship an Egel Hazav? The next question everybody asks is that if Klal Yisrael really, as the Psukim seem to indicate, literally worship Avodah Zarah, why is it that only 3 million of the 3 million people, 3,000 were killed, and the rest of them were forgiven? If everybody was violating Avodah Zarah, what's going on over here? What is so special about the only 3,000 died, and the rest of Klal Yisrael was spared? Also, Aaron HaKoyen, who was on a very, very similar level of spiritual elevation as Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the spokesperson for Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Torah records, when it comes to giving over the nevuos of Moshe Rabbeinu to Paro and to everybody else that Moshe was speaking to. How in the world, Aaron HaKoyen, did he, ultimately speaking, acquiesce to help Klal Yisrael build an Egel Hazav and cause such a Chilul Hashem and be involved in idolatry? We have a principle of Avodah Zarah is one of those averas upon which there's a chiyuv or yerug of a hayavar. And ultimately speaking, we have a Gemar Menach that says that when a kohen is involved in idolatrous activity, he can never become a kohen again in the Beis Hamikdash. And surely he can't become a kohen gadol. What's going on over here with Aaron HaKohen, based upon the Pshuto Shel Mikra? Also, Moshe prayed for Klal Yisrael and said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should get a kapara, Hashem should forgive us. He used the expression, ki amcha ha-goy ha-gadol hazeh, Rabbeinu Shalom, why are you destroying Klal Yisrael because of the chet of the Egel? They're a goy gadol. They're a tremendous, great nation. What's going on over here? And ironically, the Rabbeinu Shalom listened to Moshe's tefillahs, and Hashem says, solachti kidverecha, I listen, hear what you're saying, Moshe, and I'm going to forgive them. I'm listening to your bakashos, and I'm going to acquiesce to do what you're asking me to do on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And finally, Chazal tell us that somehow, miraculously, Klal Yisrael's tshuva was accepted. and the Binyan HaMishkan was part of the Kapara process of the Egel Hazav, and the ultimate Kapara for the Egel Hazav, as I mentioned before, was the making of the Aron HaKodesh and the Kaparas with the Keruvim. What's going on over here? What's really taking place? So I want to share with you the interpretation of this on a very, very high level, given by one of the great Volozhiner Rosh Yeshivas that I've mentioned many times in my Shiurim, none other than Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, the Beis Halevi, who was one of the last of the Rosh Yeshivas in the great Volozhiner Yeshiva. He was the founder of the Briska dynasty. His son was the famous Rav Chaim of Brisk. And from Rav Chaim of Brisk came all the other Briska Gedolim and the Briska Torah that we actually learn and study very intensely Ad Hayom Hazeh. So the Beis HaLevi says, I want you to understand that you can't take the Chet of the Egel Hazav on a literal level, because if you take on a little level, all the questions that I pose to you simply are incomprehensible, and we don't understand how Hashem allowed Klal Yisrael to continue and how Aaron was able to become the Kohen Gadol and all the other questions I posed before. So says the Beis HaLevi the following principles, which I want to share with you this morning, and listen very carefully how this all fits into one interesting picture. What the Beis HaLevi says is, first, let's understand what Moshe Rabbeinu's mission was and what his functional duties were on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So says the Beis HaLevi that Moshe Rabbeinu, if you think about it for a couple of minutes, Moshe Rabbeinu's major functionality, besides being the redeemer of Klal Yisrael and speaking to Paro and orchestrating all the various miracles of the Eser Makos and the Musar Shmuzim that he gave and the Nevuas he gave, and then leading Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim and teaching them how to make the Pesach Mitzrayim and all the halachas that are involved with it, and then ultimately bringing them through the Midbar with Hananiah Kavod and causing Kriyas Yamsuf to take place, and ultimately giving them the Mon Min HaShamayim by Tfilas HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Bakasha of Mayim, which was then given by this famous rock that was ultimately given to Klal Yisrael to be the source of Mayim wherever Klal Yisrael went. And finally, Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership role in bringing them to Har Sinai and preparing them for Kabbalah Satira and everything else. And Chazal telling us that, you know, Moshe was a major, major conduit between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was the spokesperson. He was actually a medium of communication between Klal Yisrael and between HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whenever Klal Yisrael wanted to ask Hashem a question, they used Moshe as the medium to discuss this with Hashem. And whenever Hashem wanted to give a specific message and a specific mission for Klal Yisrael, he addressed Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe go back and tell Klal Yisrael exactly what Hashem wants them to do in various types of concepts concerning mitzvahs and concerning preparation for Har Sinai and Kabbalah Satorah and their future activities. Moshe's mouth served as the medium of communication. His whole being was the medium of communication, to the point the Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu medabem v'toch gronon shel Moshe Rabbeinu. Then Klal Yisrael, when they heard Moshe speaking, they recognized that Moshe's voice, the divine voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which they prophetically heard on Har Sinai, when Hashem gave them the Aseres HaDibaros, they realized Moshe was a medium with which Hashem communicated to them, sort of like an oracle with which he communicated and told Klal Yisrael what they're supposed to do, what they're not supposed to do. So you'd understand, the Beis HaLevi says, that when Klal Yisrael saw Moshe go out to Mekabel the Torah and he didn't come back when he was supposed to come back, and all of a sudden rumors started to spread with the Maaseh Satan, that Moshe Rabbeinu is not coming back and he's not going to be with us anymore, and maybe he passed away, maybe he went up to Shemayim, that there was a panic attack. Klal Yisrael literally panicking. What are we going to do now? Who's going to be the conduit of the divine mission of Klal Yisrael. Who's going to be telling us what Hashem wants us to do? Who's going to take his place? What's going to take his place? And how are we going to communicate to Hashem? So there was a panic. And ultimately speaking, the panic they had was not, as we thought, a rejection of Hashem and Moshe and making an Egel Hazav with which to worship Avodah Zarah, Chas V'Shalom. But the Beis HaLevi says what they realized is that there is other communicative devices that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created together with Moshe to be the source of communication between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of those communicative devices that they saw was the Kisei HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that hovered over Klal Yisrael at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf into 12 parts. Chazal tell us prophetically they were able to see the Kisei HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu hovering over and controlling exactly what was taking place in the salvation of Klal Yisrael and the destruction of the military machine of Mitzrayim. Chazal say if you want to know the level of Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah Klal Yisrael witnessed when it came to seeing this concept of this Maaseh Merkava of Hashem, it says Rosh Shifchal Yama Shalaro Yecheskel Ben Buzi. They were able to see on a prophetic level higher than Yecheskel the Kisei HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the powers that Hashem through that Kisei used when it came to controlling the events taking place over here on the earth at large. And therefore, according to Chazal, Klal Yisrael said to themselves, if Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer here to be the communicator to us, to be the oracle of communication, maybe we should basically manufacture or create in the platform of what we saw, Baruch HaKodesh Et Yam Suf, a microcosm of the Maaseh Merkava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal tell us that when it comes to the Kisei HaKavod, the Maaseh Merkava, the Kisei HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the four different figurines that we're able to see prophetically that surrounded the Kisei HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One was Adam, a picture of Adam, which Chazal say was a caricature of Yaakov Avinu. There was a figurine of a Nesher, Neshekum being an eagle representing the bird kingdom. There was a figurine of the Arye, the lion representing the Chayos of the world. There was a figurine of a Shar, basically of an ox, which represented all the behemos that are in this world itself. These are the four figurines that surrounded the Kisei HaKavod, the Maaseh Merkava, that they prophetically saw at the Yam Suf. And they then realize that, quite obviously, they're not in the position to manufacture such a Kisei HaKavod, which is the Yetzir Kapav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But according to Chazal, there was the following rationale. If we're heading in the northern direction, going to Har Sinai and such, and when we look at the actual Kisei HaKavod, the Maaseh Merkava, we see the northern figurine that's on this Kisei HaKavod is a Shar, is an ox. If that's the case, we're going to make a microcosmic Kisei HaKavod, but not with all the figurines. But since we're heading in the north, and the figurine representing northern direction was the Shar, so if the Shar is what's the macro form in Shemayim, we're going to make a micro form of the Shar, and that is the Egel Hazav, which they manufactured down below. The Egel Hazav for most of Klal Yisrael was not going to be Avodah Zarah. What it was going to be is a medium of communication between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was going to serve as an oracle of communication. And since the Kisei HaKavod contained the Shar, they figured the Egel Hazav would be for them a microcosmic form of that Shar down here on the face of this earth. And therefore they meant this L'Shem Shemayim. Most of Klal Yisrael, when it came to manufacturing this, meant this for the sake of heaven, for the purpose of using this as a medium of communication between themselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This, as absurd as it sounds, is not that absurd, because I pointed out to you in the beginning of my presentation this morning that in actuality, the Ribbono Shel Olam ultimately did command them later on, when it came to making the Mishkan, that they should make an object of divine communication between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There should be some type of oracle where Hashem spoke and it came out to them, the message. And I'm referring now to the Aron HaKodesh contained in the Kodesh HaKadoshim that served as the medium of communication for Klal Yisrael and for the Rabbanu Shem to Klal Yisrael in their entire sojourn in the Midbar. Later on, the Aron HaKodesh was placed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim to continue its functional purpose and usage. So could obviously a gold object with a ritual significance as being a medium of communication was not that foreign from what ultimately was commanded to Klal Yisrael. And that's why Chazal say when it came to Aron HaKohen, since most of Klal Yisrael meant it L'Shem Shemayim, he therefore cooperated to try to help them, Baruch Kacho, to manufacture something that would be a vehicle communication. He meant it L'Shem Shemayim. Rave of Klal Yisrael meant it L'Shem Shemayim. The 3,000 people that died, Chazal say, were members of the Erev Rav, people who were mushba for them, who actually made the Egel Hazav into an Avodah Zarah. They worshipped the Egel Hazav as they worshipped the deities, they worshipped them in Egypt. They had not really totally converted to Judaism the way they should. They hadn't forsaken Avodah Zarah. They were used to worshipping golden objects as ritual objects of deities, of not being HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but other deities. And therefore, for them, the Egel Hazav was, in fact, real Avodah Zarah, which they worshipped. And that's why, ultimately, when it came to their punishment, they were killed in the Midbar, because since they were Avodah Zarah, and they did it with all of their Hislavut, they therefore were Chayiv Misas Bezen, and they were killed in the Midbar by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for violating the Isa Avodah Zarah and rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoido v'yatzmo. But the rest of Klal Yisrael meant it L'Shem Shemayim. And that's why Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shalom, don't look at what they did, but look at what their kavanah was. Ki amucha ha-goy ha-godl hazeh, they meant it L'Shem Shemayim. They wanted to use what they saw with their eyes and they witnessed in their prophetic capacities, the kisei ha-kavod, or a part of it, to serve as a medium of communication to you. Ki amcha ha-goy ha-godl hazeh, they're a great nation, they're a holy nation. And the Rabbeinu Shalom Pansim Moshe B'Malam Esfus and showing the difference in their kavanah and the kavanah of the 3,000 people that were killed, but all the other 3 million men, women, and children meant us L'Shem Shemayim to maintain their kesher and their avodah and the love and devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said to Moshe, Salachti kederarechu, you're a good lawyer. You argued appropriately. And when Mechala, between the Kavanas of the overwhelming majority of over 90% of Klal Yisrael, that they meant it L'Shem Shemayim, but unfortunately 3,000 of the people who were there, who were part basically the Erev Rav, meant it for the purposes of divine rebellion, and they're being punished. But Klal Yisrael, I'm going to save them, I'm going to give them kapara if they do tshuva. So quite obviously speaking, says the Beis HaLevi, they meant this L'Shem Shemayim. And if they meant this L'Shem Shemayim, Hashem accepted their tshuva. But now the major question which the Beis HaLevi deals with, if they meant it L'Shem Shemayim, and they were modeling this as a microcosm of the macrocosm of the Kisa Kavod and the Maisa Merkava, why did Hashem get so angry at them? What was the chet? So over here, the Beis HaLevi says something very, very, very important, which is Yesod Gadol when it comes to Torah of Mitzvahs, and something I always want you to remember. And it has not only halacha hashkafa significance in the present, but in the past as well, and also in the future. Says the Beis HaLevi that when it comes to Mitzvahs of the Torah, the Mitzvahs Aseh and Mitzvahs Los Aseh, when it comes to all the ritual objects that we use to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are described and defined and given to us through Mesoris of Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh, and when it comes to the ultimate construction of the Mishkan in the Midbar and the Beis HaMikdash later on, what gives them their significance, what gives them their power when it comes to mitzvahs, to be poel all different types of spiritual impact on the physical universe in which we live, What gives them the power is the fact that they were commanded to us and defined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chvodom b'atzmo, how to perform these mitzvahs, the minutiae involved in the performance of all these mitzvahs. When it comes to manufacturing the building of the Mishkan and later on the Beis HaMikdash, it's Hashem's divine description of how they have to be built in the Torah Shebekhtav and Torah Shebaaleh that gives them their significance as being places of divine mitzvah activity and divine communication between themselves and the Rabbeinu Shalom b'chvodo b'atzmo. It's the Rabbeinu Shalom elevating them to that type of spiritual plane, because Hashem defines them and describes them and gave us exact criteria how to make them, how to manufacture, and what we have to do there. All of that gives them the value of a divine mitzvah Kadosh Baruch Hu, and by therefore doing what Hashem commands, we're doing an avodas Hashem. We're doing an avoda for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all that I just described. But the Rabbeinu Shalom wanted to teach Klal Yisrael that the mistake you made with the Egel Hazav, even though you wanted to do this L'Shem Shemayim, is that I did not command you to make the Egel Hazav as the medium of communication between me and the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Aron HaKadosh later on was commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like all the other parts of the Mishkan, as we're going to see in this week's Parshas Terumah. But the Egel Hazav was never commanded. This is something you thought about. You thought about it with very, very high heliga kavanos and machshavos. Even Aaron HaKohen thought it's a microcosm, as you did, of the macro, of the Maisa Merkava, the Kisa HaKava, the Kodesh Baruch Hu that you saw on Kriyas Yamsuf. So there's no question you meant it L'Shem Shemayim, but I never commanded you to make this Egel Hazav as the medium of communication. And therefore, in Torah terminology, when you do what Avedis Hashem, that's not mandated or commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you do something of your own accord, without divine guidance and commandments and specifications from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether you like it or not, in the Mamaloshin of the Torah, that is not called Avedis Hashem, but is called Avodah Zarah. Now, Avodah Zarah doesn't mean necessarily always hardcore idolatry, as the Goyim practice when it came to worshipping idols and all the different type of idolatries described in Tanakh. But Avodah Zarah could also mean, and is interpreted as such, not only by the Beis HaLevi, but later on Rav Simshon Farhirsch used this continuously. Avodah Zarah means, ultimately speaking, divine service of God that was not authorized by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unauthorized divine service of Hashem, avodah zarah, foreign service of God. If you do an avodah Hashem that was not commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not avodah Hashem, but it's avodah zarah. It's unauthorized divine worship of Hashem, and instead of causing a positive result, it causes rachmana litzlan, Hashem yatzilenu, it causes a negative result. It's a tremendous blunder, a tremendous avera chamura, and something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has charanaf when he sees this basically taking place. Hashem wants us to worship him with tzivuyim and commands and with objects and places of worship the way he basically desires it should be made and constructed based upon God's divine reasons, which are chukim primarily. We have no right to manufacture, make things which Hashem never commanded us, even though our mind is like a Shem Shemayim, with which to work, which with to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we do such, we bring kabbalas Hashem never commanded us, as Nadavio did when it came to bringing a special keteres at the time of the Hakamas HaMishkan, the inauguration. They were killed min HaShemayim because they brought an Eish Zara, a type of fire that was never divinely given permission by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring, and therefore that was also considered an Avodah Zarah, and that's why Rachmana Litzlan they died, as is mentioned by Chazal in the various Midrashim. So therefore we see that the mistake of Klal Yisrael was what constitutes Avodah Hashem. Only what Hashem commands us in all its ramifications is considered an Avodah Hashem. Not only is it permissible, but it's mitzvah to do this. whatever Hashem doesn't command in His divine worship, and we do it on our own accord, and we manufacture or we think things up because we think we have creative minds and we're brilliant and we're geniuses and we're smart and we have prophetic certain types of tzelem elokim capacities. All of that might be nice, but the problem is if Hashem didn't command you to do such, you therefore, halacha l'masa, technically speaking, cannot therefore use that as the mode of operation with which to serve and do avoda of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if that's the case, according to Chazal over here, what we therefore have is a very, very big problem. And that big problem is, very simply, that if we therefore do what Hashem didn't command us to do, it's avoda zarah. And therefore, it causes a tremendous kittur in Shemaim against us. When we do things l'shem Shemaim, which Hashem commanded us, Hashem gives us schar, gives us divine reward, and Hashem therefore gives us tremendous zechuyot and rewards for worshiping Hashem and doing things that Hashem wants us to do on the level with which we basically did it. So if that's the case, I want to point out to you an important yesod. When mitzvahs are done the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to do mitzvahs, or things are manufactured, kelim, on behalf of Hashem, or even binyanim, so what mitzvahs really do, if I want to be very specific, is the mitzvah number one comes from the Lashon Tzavato, communication and connection and relationship. Mitzvahs allow us as human beings to relate to the divine essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the performance of mitzvahs. It's therefore Tzavata. It's a communicative device and a connect device for us to be dovek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mitzvahs number two are mekadosh us, they sanctify us, they elevate us, they bring us to the higher spiritual plane. That's why before we do mitzvahs, we make a bracha, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvasav. Hashem sanctified us by teaching us how to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. They elevate us to a higher plane. Thirdly, mitzvahs have a special power, which is discussed by the Mukubalim, the famous Rav Chaim Volozhin, who was the other great Rosh Yeshiva in the Volozhin Yeshiva, when it comes to the founding of the Yeshiva and the Hashkafic Derech of it, following the Yesodis and Godless of the famous Vilna Gaon, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who set in motion all of the Torahs, which we use today when it comes to the Torah world. So Rav Chaim Volozhin says in his Sefer, where he says very, very specifically, he says that I want you to know, when you do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, you're not only doing something that impacts upon you and your mishpacha and your community and what happens in the terrestrial world in which we live, but know what even happens in the celestial universe when it comes to all the galaxies and the stars and the planets and all of the universe Hashem made, Yesh Me'ayim, from the beginning of Briyat to Olam, Briyat of the creation of the entire universe. You impact upon it positively, and I'm a chazik it, if you do Torah v'mitzvahs. Dam ala mala mimcha, you have a positive impact. And if Chas Hashem Klal Yisrael sins, we have the opposite impact. We can cause destruction to the universe around us, and destruction to what's here on the celestial world, in the terrestrial world. Chazal say by what happened and by his Rishon and Klais were involved in Avodah Zarah, Rachman Lotzon, as is described in Sifrei Tanakh and by his Rishon. The problem is, of course, such a chil Hashem, not only did they destroy the Beis Hamikdash Shlamata, but they caused the destruction momentarily of the Beis Hamikdash Shlamayla in the celestial universe that corresponds to the Beis Hamikdash below. Da Malamala, realize your deeds and activities impact not only in our terrestrial world where you are living, but they have the ability of having impact on the celestial universe, the divine universe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Shemayim, even above the physical galaxies we're able to see with the very fancy types of telescopes we have today. There's a world above that, of that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a world that we cannot comprehend and understand as long as we're physical human beings in this world. As Moshe himself was told, as long as you're alive, you can't comprehend the divine world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Malachim and all the things that take place in that metaphysical universe that's outside the Gedarim of the physical world in which we live. So therefore, when we do mitzvahs, besides connecting to Hashem, and sanctifying ourselves and having a positive impact upon the ultimate stability of the entire universe. And also, it's a reich nechayach. By doing what Hashem wants to do, we show we're basically being mavatal, our minds, our hearts, and our brilliance. And say Hashem knows best, and therefore whatever He wants, we're going to do, despite what our private kavanas might be. When you do an aveira, when you do an aveira zara, even aveira zara l'shem shemayim, when it comes to building the Egel Azov, the opposite happens. Not only doesn't it connect us to Hashem, but it separates us from Hashem. Not only doesn't sanctify us, but it's metamias, it contaminates us. Not only doesn't have a tikkun for the universe, but it's mekalkel the universe. It can bring the whole universe to destruction. And by making something which Hashem didn't command us, it seems to say that we think we're as smart as Hashem, and we know better how to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the opposite of reyach nechayach. And Hashem has charanaf when He sees that we want to think, because of Atzal Malakim, we know better than Hashem what's the best for us and the best for the universe in which we live. So therefore Chazal say, that was the chet l'shem shemayim of Klal Yisrael, when Moshe pointed that out, and Klal Yisrael never had this Musa Shmuz before, or a lesson concerning this up until this point in time. The Egel Hazav therefore served as a Musa Shmuz lesson to Klal Yisrael, what's appropriate, what are mitzvahs, how we're supposed to conduct ourselves, what's an Avedas Hashem, and what's considered an Avedas Zara, an unauthorized divine worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of that was clarified in Maimed HaSinai when it came after to the Chet of the Egel Azav, as Moshe says, Ke'amcha Agoy HaGadol Hazeh, Klal Yisrael have learned their lesson, and Hashem says, Solachti Kedavarecha. So therefore, let's now go to the Mishkan. Chazal say even after Klal Yisrael did tshuva, and they did tshuva from this, and they understood the mistake they made, when it came to the manufacture of the Mishkan, the chief architect, the chief person in charge of the entire Avodah was a person whose name was Betzael. Chazal say he was one of the most spiritually astute members of Klal Yisrael, incredible Ruach HaKodesh, Koyach HaNevuah, Kedomer. Chazal say he was able to figure out how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Briyat HaOlam with the various Yetziros and the Shemus HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything else. He was a brilliant personality, a brilliant spiritual individual. And when Bezalel was told, I'm giving you now the job to be the supervisor in charge of building the Mishkan and all of the appurtenances of the Mishkan, not only the physical building and everything else, but all the various Kalim. And what the Torah tells us, in Pashas Pekudei, that when they gathered all the materials together and had everything ready, Muchan and Mezumin and Bezalel supervised it, everything was done as the Pasuk keeps on repeating over and over again. In Pashas Pekudei, Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. Everything was made according to the way Moshe was commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make the physical building of the Mishkan, all its coverings, all its boards, how to overlay them with gold and everything else. Everything was made Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. And when it came to the utensils which were used in the Mishkan itself and later on the Beis HaMikdash, and in particular the menorah and the Lech Shulchan of the Lechem Aponim, the Mizbeach Hazav, and the Mizbeach HaChitzoni that was used in the courtyard for bringing korbanos. And when it came ultimately to making the Aron HaKodesh for the Kodesh HaKadoshim, all of it was made Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, which meant to say that Klal Yisrael learned their lesson and Bezalel made sure that everything that was done and everything that had to be manufactured to create the Migdash V'osil Midash V'shechanti B'seichem, and later on David and Shlomo when it came to making the base of Migdash HaGadol in the actual Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh and Har HaMerira, doing all that had to be done, both groups did it, Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, according to the specifications of all the architectural and kalim design which Hashem had given them at their specific points of time in world history, in Jewish history. And therefore Chazal say that it was exactly the Mishkan and the way it was made, Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, was the kapara for the mistake of the Egel Hazav. Klaius, I knew the difference between now Avedis Hashem, Kashetziv Hashem as Moshe, and what Avedis Zara is, the authorized worship of Hashem, of doing things Hashem never commanded us to do. So therefore, the Maisa HaMishkan was the Kapara. But of all the Kalim contained in the Mishkan, the one that had the greatest symbolic power was that of the actual Aron HaKodesh. And what I want to do as I'm coming to the completion of the shiur is to read to you the holy words of the famous of Yosef Dov Halevi Saleveshik, the Beis Halevi in his Sefer, in which he says, what is the symbolism? What is the importance that the Talmud Yerushalmi in Masechet Shkalim gives, that of all the Kalim of the Makom HaMikdash, the one that caused the greatest kapara was the Aron HaKodesh. It says, Lashon Hazeh, I'm going to read you the Yerushalmi, Tanei Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, Asisa Kaparazav Tahar, you shall make a kaparis, the cover should be of pure gold, and on the kaparis, Yichapa Zav Egel Azav, this gold will be a kapara for the chet of the Egel Azav that was also made by gold. And what does this mean, says the Beis Halevi? How does one mechapa for the Egel Hazav? So says the Beis Halevi the following statement, which I'm going to translate, and you'll hear very beautifully. He says, when you look at the description of how, in fact, the actual oven is supposed to be made, when you look at the description which the Torah gives for exactly how this specific keli has to be made, so it says very, very, very explicitly in the Torah that this specific keli, this specific utensil, has to have the following qualities. I'm going to read what he paraphrases. He says, "Bekaparis kesivah paneim ish el achiv el kaparis yu panei hakeruvim," that the keruvim that are created from the gold of the kaparis, the golden cover of the aron, have to be made like one individual facing another individual, and the faces of the keruvim even have to be facing downwards if they're looking at the cover of the actual kaparis that the carved outer. What is this bimarames? What's the purpose of making keruvim facing each other and facing the faces of the keruvim facing downwards to the actual cover of the kaparis? So he says, remez of the shnei keruvim. What is the two keruvim representing? His kavish al hakadosh baruch hu Yisrael. It basically, one keruv represents Klal Yisrael, the other keruv represents Kaviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the fact that the keruvim faced each other was trying to show that through Torah and Mitzvahs, there's an eschavis, there's a connection made, as I mentioned before, between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem's Hashkacha, Hashem's Divine Providence is bestowed upon them. When this kravis, when this intimate connection is done according to halachic perfection. The pasuk says, "Upanein ish elachiv." Amakosev, what's the fact that one face faces the other face? He quotes the pasuk, "Ayin Hashem al yireiv." Hashem's looking at those who fear Him, who have reverence for Him. And it also says, when it comes to other pasuk, "Ein Yisrael raknesuas lahakadosh baruch hu." Amakosev, "Ein tamid el Hashem." Our eyes are continuously lifted to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And the Devekis and the connection of Klai Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to us connecting to Hashem, what are the Kruvim teaching us? So that by facing down to the Aron HaKodesh, looking at the cover, what they're really emphasizing, what's contained under the cover, the Kaparis. In the Aron HaKodesh, the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, you had the Luchas HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us at Har Sinai with the Aseres HaDibros. You also have contained in it the first Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote for Klal Yisrael that was placed in the Aron HaKodesh. You also have, according to the Talmud Yerushalmi Shkolim, Ramazim to Teresh Shvapeh, that's engraved in the physical luchos of the Shtei Luchos Abris Hashem gave us at Har Sinai. And the symbolism is, if Klal Yisrael wants to be Davik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and develop a connection, E.F. Sharak Ali Dehat Torah Vilimuda. The means with which we relate to Hashem is learning Torah. And by us studying it, analyzing, and incorporating that into our personalities and the way we conduct our lives. Kavisha Mekayim B'Torah, according to the level of dedication of Asiyas HaTorah, Kachu Ashkach Me'Kadosh Baruch Hu. This causes the divine providence of God watching over us. V'zesha Amar Kosev, El HaKaporis Yu Penei HaKruvim, facing the Kaporis will be the faces of these cherubs, L'Lamed, the Oaf and HaDevekus, the way we are dovek to Hashem, his kashas l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, our connection to Hashem, in our kaparis is like the kaparis, and what is that may? As the Kruvim basically teach us, that the place where we have the luchas and the Torah, and our understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu by analyzing these specific texts, it's through this mechanism that we develop our ultimate devekas connection, our kedusha, our sanctity, and tikkun of the entire universe by using Torah v'mitzvahs as the mechanism to accomplish it, because that's kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. So the kaparis and the kruvim and the figurines, the way they looked, and what's contained under the kaparis, and that is the Torah shebiksav and Torah shebapeh, meluchos. That is the means with which we'll make sure that henceforth, all we do is kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, we'll do avodas Hashem. We won't make up our own private avoda that we basically think of our own brilliance as an alternate form of worshipping HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's considered aveda zara, unauthorized divine worship of Hashem. We want to connect to Hashem, has to be kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. That's what the chefts of the Torah shebiksav and Torah shebapeh is all about. That's what the luchos are about. And Klal Yisrael's survival, Klal Yisrael's success, Kalia's ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the highest practical conceptual level is only when Kalia's will dedicate themselves to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu and dedicate themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kasha Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, the way it was commanded to us at Har Sinai, how Moshe later on in the Midbar for 40 years taught us every day, Terah Shebiksav and Terah Shebapeh, and all of Taryag Mitzvahs, the Hashkafa, the Halacha, and the technical parts of doing Avedas Hashem. That's the power what Hashem gave us. He gave us what the Pasuk says, the Klei Chemda, his most beautiful keli, his most beautiful utensil, that Hashem took this Torah, Mistaka Baraisa Bar Alma, that he uses the blueprint for the creation of the universe. That's the Torah HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us as a means, a mechanism of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and worshiping Hashem appropriately and building ritual objects according to the specifications of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and building the Mishkan and the Migdash and all its appurtenances according to the specification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of all of the Kalim and all of the things we're commanded, the Aron HaKadosh is the epitome in its artistic beauty of how we are supposed to understand through this Jewish art piece how to relate and connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bichlal, I want to mention that in the world of Jewish history, Jewish art forms that were came to manufacturing kelim, that were used for Avedas Hashem, that the beautification of art when it came to holy objects used for Avedas Hashem, all of this was done with symbolic import and significance to highlight that Kele Vanveyu, if I'm going to worship Hashem and make things the way Hashem wants me to do, I'm going to make them the most beautiful fashion possible, with the best Hebrew script, with the best Sofrim who write with incredible writing skills, with the finest materials, with gold and silver. I'm going to embellish, I'm going to enhance. All of this shows the chaviv is that keli v'anveyu, I'm praising Hashem, I'm showing my love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by making something the way Hashem wants us to make it and making it in the most beautified fashion possible. Jewish art forms, which are based upon this hashkafa, embellished Klal Yisrael for thousands of years up until this very day. One of the kavanits that my dear, wonderful Rebbetzin Nomi had in making her art academy, which quite obviously is slowly but surely teaching young women how, based upon Jewish art and Jewish hashkafa and Jewish ideology, to make all different types of artistic phenomenon based upon hashkafas chazal and based upon the tzuras of chazal, and quite obviously trying to teach young women how they can therefore make, for instance, apparel, Jewish apparel, clothing, that models the concept of tznius and hashkaf of klaius, or how people should be dressed in a bakavadik way, and teach women how to be interior designers. So when they build a Jewish house, the interior of the house represents the hashkaf is an ideology, how a Jewish home has to be built and what it has to represent, and how a migdash shmiyat, which Chazal say, also mitzvah shechanti b'soichem, Hashem Shechina not only wants to dwell in a makam hamishkan, a migdash, but Hashem wants b'soichem, he wants a Jewish household to be a microcosm of a mishkan Hashem, the way it was in the midbar, because the pasuk says, when it comes to the houses, the tents of Klal Yisrael in the midbar, they were miniature temples. It says the Oyel HaYakov became a Mishkan Yisrael because they practiced the Hashkaf as an ideology of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the houses and made them into a Mishkan. There was a Shriyas Ashchina on the homes because the houses became miniature, microscopic Mishkanos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what we're teaching these young women when it comes to art and how to create art and such is to create a new generation of Neshei Chayil, like the Neshei Chayil who helped manufacture the kelim and the utensils that were used in the Mishkan and later on in the Mikdash, to these Noshim Tzidkanios, these Noshim Chachmanios, who were given also Ruach HaKodesh to basically manufacture with expertise kelim and other appurtenances and clothing and the drapes and everything else that will represent the Hashkafis HaTeir of HaKadosh Baruch on the highest level. That's the purpose of our school that we created. The shiur today is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas, the Bubba of my Rebbetzin, Naomi's Bubba, and Alta Bubba, the Mishpacha that she comes from, individuals who are Tzadikim v'Tzidkaniyos, who are Rebbes and the Gedolei Rosh Yeshiva that she emanated from, who all dedicated their life, that everything they did and everything they taught their constituents, the Hasidim and the Gedolim in the Litvisha world that were basically her descendants, all dedicated their life to do what is Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, to teach Klaus to do what they have to do according to the specification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what the Mishkan is all about, the Migdash. This is the power of the Aron HaKodesh, the ultimate kapara and hashkafa mechanism for Klaus to do things appropriately. Let's hope and pray all of us will learn from all of this, the power of doing Hashem's Ratzon, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, realize that's the only way that we can connect to Hashem and sanctify ourselves and cause Tikkun Olam not only in our world but the entire universe, and to ultimately have Reach Necheach Hashem want to love us and cherish us and guarantee Klal Yisrael Kol HaBrachos HaKesuvos V'Torah. Let's hope and pray we learned the lesson of the power of Jewish art and its ability to impress upon us Haderech Hashem Yelchuba, the way that we're supposed to worship Hashem in the appropriate fashion. Let's hope and pray that us dedicating ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and doing Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe will give the schools of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have Rachmanis upon us, to redeem us from our galus, to give us the ability to return and rebuild Eretz Yisrael on the level we want to with the Beis HaMikdash, to be able to be saved from all the machlos and all the sicknesses that Hashem promised us in Parshas B'Shalach, Ani Hashem Rofecha, I control the entire world, the entire physical universe. If I create it, I can control it. If you're sick, I can heal you. That the Rabbeinu Shem Rofe Kalbasar should inspire us and help us to eradicate the machlos that are affecting the entire world at this point in time, and bring us to the Tekufa of Gedula of Yeshua's in Biach Mashiach Zedkenu, in Binyan Habayis, L'Shem L'Tiferes, based upon the Hashkafas, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, V'meinu Amen V'Amen.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.